Welcome to today's football program. I think we look okay, don't we? Maybe. Watch this. Maybe I'll walk up to the camera here. Oh, pandemonium today. Early. The people on the audio episode are like, the fuck is going on? You know what I'm saying? They don't know what's going on. That's okay, though. We don't have that many audio listeners. What's going on, boys and girls? Huh? Hey, baby. I'm going to pop a little get right. Get the hair right. What's this? Look at that pullback. Keep the bangs out the way, baby. All right, let's move this. There's so much drama in the LBC. Oh, shit. You're a Trump dance? Yeah, shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a Chad face while you're doing it? Let's get a lip pillow going. I got bitches in the living room getting it on, and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboy do too. So turn off the lights and close the door. But we got one of these breakers. So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. Jesus, yeah. Close down while you motherfuckers bounce to this. Rolling down the street, smoking endo. So I'll give you guys a little behind the scenes as to how we prepare for this show. We take a couple shows that we like listening to that talk about similar things that we talk about. And I will pull a transcript. This is how I produce every show. I will pull a transcript and I'll say, maybe pull a transcript from 1 to 3 shows that talk about football. And what I'll do is I'll take that transcript and I'll throw it into an AI chatbot and tell it to give me main hitters. That way, I know I'm not missing anything prevalent in the football world. It's not because I'm lazy and I'm actually a fraud and I don't watch ball and all that. It's just to make sure we cover all of our bases. So today, so what'll happen is today, for example, there's no closed captions on any daily shows that we follow. And when there's no closed captions, you can't transcribe the episode. And sometimes we'll have days, 1 out of every 3 or 4 days, we will have no show outline for that reason. And today's one of those days. So we got Thursday night football tonight. We'll talk about that one a little bit. We got feminists on Twitter talking about how they want to repeal men's right to vote. And better yet, if you're a straight white man, that you should be put in a cage. And better yet, if you're a straight white man with a podcast, I actually saw a video right before we went live with this thing of a chick taking a video of herself in her car saying that, you know, and I felt so good in that moment hearing that. Straight white man with a podcast. You want to suppress my creativity by putting me in a cage? Go for it. We got Mom Danny. Zoran Mamdani. That's what they call him. Mamdani. Oh, yeah. Turn the volume up, baby. What I'm talking about. So we're going to... The point of all that is we're going to free ball this show today, whether you like it or not. We'll start talking about the Denver game. I don't think that there's much to talk about. The spoiler for today is that the title of this episode is clickbait. I do not think that the Broncos are on upset alert. But who the hell knows? With division football games, you really do not know. Now, Denver has won 6 straight, to my knowledge, at home. Could be 7. When I was reading some of the previews for this game, I wasn't sure if they were saying that it would be Denver's 7th straight if they won tonight, or if they've already won 7 straight. I think they've won 6 straight at home. No. I'm all messed up. They've won 6 in a row, period. And I think they've won 9 straight home games. 9. They've got the best pass rusher in the game right now, Nick Benito. And there's an article on ESPN about his ultra-quick first step squarely in the Defensive Player of the Year award race. The Broncos are 7-2. I didn't realize that. So they're tied, I guess, New England 7-2, Indy 7-2, Denver 7-2. And they're hosting a bad Raiders team. A bad Raiders team. I probably won't watch much of it because we got Pop Warner practice tonight. Denver's got an 8.5-point favorite in the point spread over Las Vegas right now. You can find 9.5 at some sports books if you want to take the Raiders to cover and get that extra point. But I mean, just, man, I was trying to come up with a title for this episode today, and I was like, fuck, you know, I don't want to make the title about the Denver-Las Vegas game because I don't have a lot to say about it. I think Denver's going to roll. I think Denver's going to whip. So there's not really a ton to say about it. Like, I think we're a couple of quarters of football away from us talking about Bo Nix having a sophomore slump, but instead we're talking about him as one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. We're a couple quarters away from that. These Denver Broncos, they're the comeback kids. They always start slow. Like, it does not fail. They always start slow, and then they pick it up. They pick it up in the fourth quarter. They're the comeback kids. And I'm sure Sean Payton's blood pressure is just absolutely off the charts. Any coach's blood pressure is off the charts. I had position coaches in college who looked like they were 58 but were really 42. It was insane. They were some of the most stressed people I've ever known in my life. And some would say not for good reason. Others would say for good reason. Not the good reason being it's a game and we're throwing a ball around, tackling each other. Why is my chat disabled? I just realized my chat is disabled for my live stream. That's not good. That's not good at all. did I say something? I heard YouTube was getting more stringent about words you can and can't say. Did I say something? We're going to have to figure that out. I'm kind of jarred up off of that. It's very interesting. Let's take a look at this in real time. Why is my live chat on disabled on YouTube? Community guidelines strike, a made for kids setting, YouTube. Let's go to my YouTube channel. YouTube channel. It says upcoming. And it's waiting for me. What? I don't understand. Huh. I am flabbergasted here. Because it says, on Streamlabs, it says I'm live. But on YouTube, it says it's waiting for me to go live. This is what happens when you are a one-man show. Interesting. So, I don't know if anyone's seeing this right now. I don't know what the hell's going on. Am I live on Twitch? Let's check that. We've been doing this for a couple months now. Yeah, it says I'm live. I'm live on Twitch, but I'm not live on YouTube for whatever reason. Interesting stuff. Well, I'm just going to keep it going and hope that it works out, I guess, right? So I got the Broncos to cover the spread against the Raiders. You never know, though. Division games are dicey. It's in Denver. That's one of the best home atmospheres in the NFL against a bad Raiders team. And You got a prolific pass rusher in Bonito. One of the hottest coaching candidates in college football right now is John Summerall, the head coach of Tulane. And believe it or not, the guy still has a job to do with Tulane. Tulane is an interesting institution in New Orleans, Louisiana. I've never been on campus at Tulane, but it seems like they got a great culture there. And John Tulane, he's bringing in different speakers for this Tulane program. And one of the people he brought in this week was Kellen Moore, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. And then I guess they had a financial planner go up there. You know, these fucking guys. Listen, I'm in the investment business. I am a financial advisor myself to pay the bills. And some of these guys are just chomping at the bit to get in the building with some of these college players, some of these NFL players, to build credibility with them, talk about money so that they can build a book of business with a bunch of these athletes. I really want to understand. I'm hung up on this YouTube shit. Hopefully it gets published. I'm a one-man show. You know, I produce these things. I shoot these things. I make the titles, the thumbnails. So if you're watching somehow and you're not subscribed yet, hit the subscribe button so that I can pay people to make sure that my goddamn YouTube stream is actually live. Thank you. Because I'm just looking at this thing. I'm like, this is weird. You know, this is weird. You got woke policies. You know, I don't know what I'm saying, but this is the type of show that we're going to have to carry We're going to have to carry it because there's just typically Wednesdays are dead, but yesterday seemed pretty robust just because of the trade deadline and the moves that were made. It seemed like yesterday was pretty electric, and there's always one day a week that's pretty wonky. You know, I'm not saying today's the day. We did have a tragic passing of an NFL player, Dallas Cowboy. Can't remember his name right now. Scored a touchdown last week and then offed himself with a gunshot last night. It's really sad. Really, really sad. It doesn't matter how much clout you get. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You cannot... You can't make yourself... Oh, man. I said this really nicely earlier, and I'm trying to think of the way to say it now, but no amount of money, no amount of clout can make you happy. That's what I was trying to say. I also saw a headline coming from ESPN today, and notifications must hit really hard like this one when you're an idiot. And the headline is, could the Jets use their treasure chest draft picks to get Joe Burrow? And they made Adam Schefter weigh in on this. It's insane. But it's just ridiculous. There's no world in which that happens. There's no world in which... I couldn't even imagine Cincinnati considering trading Joe, let alone the haul they would expect in return for Joe, negotiating with them. Here's the thing about the Bengals front office, okay? They'll make good and goddamn sure that they never lose a negotiation, even if it comes at the cost of winning football games. I'm not saying trading Joe equals winning football games. In fact, I feel the opposite. But you can be good and goddamn certain that the Bengals will make sure their egos are too big over there in that front office. And unwarranted big egos, might I add. Nepotism egos, if you will. The Bengals ownership group, they do this to soothe their egos. They don't do this because of how much they love football or how much they love Cincinnati. They'll tell you that's what they're doing it for, but they do it for an ego trip. And part of people that are egotistical and have ego trips is that they always have to win. Even if it's the smallest thing, they always have to win. And there's a difference between competitors, real competitors, and people who feel like they always have to win. And the difference between those two types of people is that true competitors are just using the man across from them as a means to demonstrate their abilities that they've accumulated based on the work that they've put in and day out for a long period of time. That's a true competitor. An egotist, somebody that has to win the smallest of exchanges, and I can tell you this because I've been this person before for a lot of my life, is that you're trying to win for the sake of getting external validation from a small victory of someone across from you because you have not placated your own insecurity in actually achieving something in life. I've been there before. I competed my entire football career with that mindset of I have to win against a guy across from me because I need that external validation. And I think that's where the Bengals front office, especially Katie Blackburn, Troy Blackburn, are coming from when they feel like they have to win every deal. They feel like they have to win every negotiation. But in this Joe Burrow case, it's actually good for the Bengals organization because there ain't no chance. You could trade You could trade. You could offer to trade the Bengals the nation of Syria. You could offer them 40 virgin women. You could offer them, what's things just as valuable as 40 virgin women? I'm not sure. You could offer them anything. They would not take it. Joe Burrow's their begotten son. You know, so man, I'm trying to stay focused here, but this YouTube shit, I wish I had a producer right now to help me figure this shit out, man. Looks like I scheduled it. This is insane. And what's even more insane is it looks like, I don't know. I'm not sure, man. But we're 22 minutes in. We probably got people watching on Kick and Twitch. Just a couple. But that's fine. And we'll figure out how to get this episode to you. If you're a YouTube viewer. We'll figure out how to get this thing to you. I promise. And if we don't, we'll be back tomorrow. So it's all the same. I felt a little... This is the thing. This is the challenge of doing a daily podcast. There's only so much to cover. I feel like covering football is great because there's always something. But some days are slower than others. Number one, this feels like a slow day. Number two, when you're creating anything, you always feel resistance. This is what I refer to as the devil. Okay, you always feel resistance. You pop up out of bed, and at least for me, my first thought is, oh my God, unless I'm just insanely well rested. My first thought when I wake up most mornings on a weekday is, ooh, 30 minutes of sleep, 30 minutes more of sleep right now would just hit, wouldn't it? It would just hit. Go back under those nice warm covers. That's the first, and that's the devil. First thing every morning, you got to fight the devil's dumb ass off. Be like, nope, motherfucker, I'm getting out of bed. Ooh, that nice warm shower. You can hang out in there and avoid all of the problems that inevitably will present themselves to you throughout the day. Doesn't that sound nice? Nope, bitch, cold plunge, dumbass. And then you go to stretch. Oh, man, the stretch routine looks hard. Maybe we could get away with just doing it tomorrow? No, bitch. Saddle pose right fucking now, bud. Done. Easy. And you start to find that your thoughts about doing stuff. Hello, puppy. Come here, puppy. Come here. You find that your thoughts about doing hard stuff are actually harder than just doing it. Just doing the thing. And so none of these things ever get easier. We just get tougher. And so today was a day where I felt a lot of resistance around doing a podcast for whatever reason. I think part of it was I knew that there wasn't going to be an outline. There wasn't going to be much structure. It was going to be on me to carry the show. That's one thing. And then obviously we got whatever's going on YouTube right now. It's scheduled the stream or something, instead of actually going live. So I'm going to have to fix that in my streaming software. And I'm sorry to get hung up on it. I haven't had this happen. It's gone for the most part. We've been going live with this podcast, I'd say every day for about 3 months now. It's like, we've had some difficulties. We've lagged here and there. I pay for pretty goddamn good internet, to make sure that we don't have any uncertainties in that front. But, you know, it's like we've been pretty smooth sailing for the most part with the live streams, which is crazy because ever since I started podcasting, I've gotten a lot better with the technical understanding, knowing what plugs into where, how to go live, how to create titles and thumbnails and stuff like that. But I'm still not the brightest tech mind in the world. I'm really blessed to have bright tech minds around this kind of art in my life, but surprisingly, we just haven't had that many difficulties. So, another interesting challenge to overcome, not getting hung up on something while you're live and getting to the show. But ironically, that is what's fueling it right now in what we're talking about. So I felt resistance all day, and I don't normally open up about this. I feel resistance most days. And that's what's kind of beautiful about this whole thing to me is that this never ends. There's always another podcast to do, especially when you're going live every day. And it's hard to make this stuff. It doesn't feel as hard once you've got a skill set around it and you're comfortable with it and you're doing it day in and day out, but there's still a degree of resistance to it that you have to say fuck it and just click the go live button every day. So that's why I thought it was funny that there was some liberal white woman on my Twitter feed today saying that specifically targeting straight white men with podcasts, they want to curtail your creativity. They want to suppress expression. They, you know, there's people out there that can't stand to see somebody creating. And that just is crazy to me. That's just the definition of evil to me. I feel like we talked a bit about college football yesterday. We've been talking about college football a good bit because there's a lot of juicy headlines around coaching with college football. And we did cover a good bit of it. Let's take a look at some of the games we've got for week 11. Let's see. We had games going on Tuesday. This is crazy. You had UMass at Akron playing on a Tuesday. You had Miami of Ohio at the University of Ohio on a Tuesday. Miami of Ohio has always seemed like a struggling football program. Then yesterday you had Kent State at Ball State and Northern Illinois at Toledo. Tonight, you've got Georgia Southern at App State. I don't even know what conference either of those teams are in anymore. Is it the Sun Belt? I'm not sure. And then University of Texas, San Antonio at South Florida tonight. Tomorrow night, you've got Houston, actually, a good program, playing at UCF. You've got Northwestern playing at USC. That's a snoozer. And then you got Tulane at Memphis. That'll be a fun one tomorrow night on a Friday night, won't it? And then Saturday, we've got our slate. Week 11 in college football. You got Indiana at Penn State at 10 a.m. This is going to be a real deal test for Indiana. I think Indiana at Penn State. Penn State, they seem like this program, they ain't got much to lose at this point in the year with everything they've gone through this season. And you have a Indiana team coming in number two in America that's riding high against a Penn State program that feels like they've really got nothing to lose at this point. That's a dangerous game for Indiana, and I'd be shocked if Kurt Cignetti wasn't preaching that to his men all week long. You guys are on upset alert. These guys want to beat you bad. These guys don't have anything to lose. And you go in to hostile territory, Happy Valley, whatever you call it. Is it Happy Valley? There's a Happy Valley right around the corner here where I live as well. That's going to be a tough one. Indiana on upset watch there, I would say, at Penn State. You got Georgia at Mississippi State. Georgia wins that handily. BYU at Texas Tech, arguably the game of the week. Number 7 versus number 8. We talked a bit about that game yesterday. What else? Colorado. We talked about Colorado and the state of that program yesterday as well. They go into Morgantown, West Virginia this weekend with a new starting quarterback. His last name's Lewis, that I know of. New starter. Hope my audio doesn't sound different. It feels like it sounds different. No, we're good. 10 a.m. game. It's supposed to be terrible, terrible weather for this Colorado at West Virginia game. Rich Rodriguez will figure out a good game plan to give themselves the best shot to beat a struggling Colorado program. You got Ohio State at Purdue. Don't see them losing that, but I will say, is Purdue a tough program? I really haven't heard anything about it. It looks like it's going to be in West Lafayette, Indiana, down there at Ross Aid Stadium, West Lafayette, Indiana. I haven't been to West Lafayette, but I did live close to it in Indianapolis. The Citadel at Ole Miss, Southern Conference Military Institution, Citadel. They used to run a triple option offense back when I played in the Southern Conference. They had a triple option. I don't know if they've changed it. I haven't watched any SoCon football because my alma mater, Samford University, is terrible this year. We are 1-8. And we got a game against Texas A&M coming up that I will be in attendance for, and it's probably going to be an 83-0 blowout. Okay, what else do we got? We got a lot of college football, man. We got a you got Texas A&M at Missouri. Could Texas A&M be on upset watch for that one? I think they could be. They got a great team. That's going to be a big test on the road against Eli Drinkwitz's number 22 Missouri squad. Texas A&M, they got a great quarterback. They got great players all around. They're one of the best teams, if not up there with the best in college football. They are the cream of the crop in the SEC. Only Indiana and Ohio State ahead of them in these college football rankings currently. You got Kansas at Arizona. Duke at UConn, Syracuse at Miami. I'm shocked that the U is still in the top 20. They're at 18. Mario Cristobal, there's a lot of talk that offensive line coaches are not good head coaches, that something does not translate, especially when you want to run the I formation late in a game when you're down. I understand the knock on offensive line coaches not translating over to head coaches. And we've seen Miami fall off a bit this year. The U, great expectations. They have an incredible roster they've put together. But they've lost in big moments. They lost to SMU this weekend. And all of a sudden, their hopes for the college football playoff has dwindled significantly. They are no longer in control of their own destiny. They must hope for some teams to lose if they want to make it into that 12-team field sitting at number 18 in November. Not only do they need to win out, but they need to get help. Auburn at Vanderbilt. Again, Auburn is a program that probably feels like they have nothing to lose going on the road to a Vanderbilt team that cannot afford to lose again if they want to make the college football playoff. They sit at number 16. Wow, they took a tumble after that loss at Texas. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams respond. Auburn coming off a loss to Kentucky, firing their head coach, their former head coach, Hugh Freeze. And Vandy coming off a tough loss at Texas. Again, Vandy cannot afford to lose again, and for that reason, I got Vanderbilt in that game. Stanford at North Carolina, that's just interesting because you got Andrew Luck, you got two struggling programs. Andrew Luck's running it over at Stanford as the general manager. You're going to see more and more general managers in college football, I believe. And then you got Bill Belichick running that North Carolina program. Virginia playing incredibly. They are a sure threat to make it to the college football playoff. Wake Forest comes to Charlottesville to play the Wahoos. I see Virginia having no problem beating Wake Forest. Cal going to Kentucky. What a culture shock for these Berkeley boys to go into Louisville, Kentucky. Great Louisville program. I believe they're in that college football playoff conversation. They're 7-1. They're playing great. all speed ahead for Louisville. I got them winning this one. Here's a game that a lot of people thought would be a marquee game after week one. That's Florida State at Clemson. Both of these programs have fallen off so bad that this game has been relegated to be broadcasted on the ACC network. These are two formerly prestigious programs. Clemson's lost six in a row at home, or it could be nine. I can't remember whether the number's right side up or the wrong side down. But Clemson, they call their home field Death Valley. Death Valley doesn't really seem so scary anymore. And you got Florida State, who, after beating Bama week one, looked like they were going to be in this conversation coming down the stretch. They are so far out of it, it's not even funny. Mike Norvell, people have been talking about him on the hot seat. Seems like his job's pretty safe because this team has been pretty shitty, and he's still the head coach. So I'm not even going to make a prediction for that one. That's just going to be a dog water, hot dog, ass shit game. LSU at Alabama. Man, if LSU could have gotten their shit together, this would have been another classic. I was seeing videos about the game of the century that happened on November 5th, 2011. I remember I was in a dorm room at Macaulay School in Chattanooga, Tennessee, watching that game. And it was a defensive battle. LSU, I believe, got that win. Let me think. They split it, didn't they? Somebody won in the regular season, and then they played again in the national title. And Bama won, right? Am I tripping? I can't remember. But Bama's number four. They're rolling. LSU reeling. Give me Alabama. And this game's still on ABC. That's pretty shocking. Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's always a big game. It's a good rivalry. Historic rivalry. Florida's going to Kentucky. Give me Florida in that game. And give me Alabama against LSU. Okay. I'm going to figure out this YouTube shit. Give me the Broncos tonight in Thursday Night Football. I'm going to figure out this YouTube shit, see what's not clicking. And we'll be back tomorrow. I might jump on a Madden stream. I've got about 30 minutes. If I can figure out this YouTube thing. Because I look at the YouTube chat at the beginning of the episode, and it says chat is disabled for this live stream. And I saw, when I went live, I saw a little go live menu pop up in my OBS, which was weird. So it might have something to do with that. I might have to relink my YouTube. I'm not sure. But on the off chance that I'm able to have this on my YouTube channel and you're watching this on YouTube, thank you for watching. If I could take an inch and turn it into a mile, I'd ask you to subscribe to this channel so that I can have a producer to tweak this midstream. We got to get income from this channel in order to hire people. And in order to get income to hire people, I need all of you watching to subscribe so that we can bring you the best daily football content in the land. This will be one of the biggest podcasts in the world in years to come. So it's best now to get in on the ground floor while you can. You always will be able to, but it'll be nice to say, yeah, I was a fan of In the Jar back in the OG days. These are the days we're building this thing, baby. So appreciate all the love. Appreciate all the support. We got content on the channel daily being updated. Clips of me on other podcasts, Madden streams occasionally, and clips from this show that you are watching right now. You can also access the show on all audio platforms, big or small. So that when you're taking your girlfriend on a date, you can throw this podcast on in the car and teach her some ball. Okay, that's it for me, boys and girls. Thank you so very much. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Hopefully we can get this thing on YouTube.